competitive in the Army, and they kept bumping into each other, they fell in love and got married in the war over in Germany. So when I was living in Germany, they came over to celebrate the 50th anniversary by going back and visiting the church that they were married in. And it was really a wonderful time, and we went over there. What I wanted to tell you about is something different. We went to see this castle in Würzburg, it's called the Residence. It's a structure that's known for its architectural beauty. And a lot of famous painters did different, work inside the castle. And so I was interested in taking him there. Of course, I was hoping to show him something, but actually he showed me something, but it's often the case. And so we went in, and we were looking around, and we were like, this is really important. Look here, look at the beautiful staircase over there. Look at that, look at that. And I was looking, where's my father? And then I looked down, and he's lying on the floor. My father is lying on the floor of the castle. There's tourists all over the place, And he's lying there, and what is he doing? He's looking up. And it's a beautiful mural on the ceiling that we were all totally oblivious to. Because we're all looking around and trying to tell everybody how great this place was and how great the staircase was and everything like that. And there he's lying down there. And he said, this is the best way to look at a mural, man. Keep it in mind, when you go to a castle or you go to a museum, look up. When I brought him to New York, he would say, don't forget to look up. Don't forget to look up. When you go to New York next time, try it, try it. Some of the most beautiful things to see in New York City are up. The top of the buildings, there are gargoyles on some of the buildings, there are some structures up there that are used, that are of intense beauty, and you can only see them if you look up. But we're all just kind of going around like this, and I told that to him today when I saw him. I said, Dad, when you mentioned the fact that you told me to look up, and he said, well, that's what happens, man. He said, we get so used to our busyness and doing stuff that we just don't take time to do things like that. And so that's what we're talking about today, really. We're talking about looking up. So when you go out today, and you don't remember anything that I said, go outside and look up. God speaks to us. He speaks to us in many different ways. He spoke to me through my dad. He speaks to us through our relationships with our parents, with our families. He speaks to us through missionaries. I had a long association in my church growing up. There were people that I remember still now. I saw an email that someone from my old church sent out, and I looked at the list of names that were on the address, and sure enough, one of them was the address of these two fine people who were missionaries to Alaska, to the Eskimo. I remember them. And they used to come back and tell us about these muckmucks. They called them these gloves that the Eskimos who were called muckmucks. I'll never forget. How old am I? I still remember. I still remember when I was as old as a statue. Because these people came and they loved us. And they showed us the love of God. And that they wanted to be Eskimos and they were showing us muckmucks. God talks to us with muckmucks. Talk to us. He wants to tell us about himself. He wants to tell us things. This verse here means a lot. Because it's saying something to us. And what is it saying? The heavens declare the glory of God. They're speaking. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And it goes on. The day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. we take time to listen, what are we going to hear? They proclaim God's glory. That's what we need. More of that. We need less of the other junk. And we need to focus on what that is.
Creature or reptile, whatever it was that they wrote here.
those are the things that people take as being more important to their lives. And God is saying, why? We're living in a very wicked world. We're living in a place that is futile, hopeless. Is that time? Well, this God is everything good. Goodness. Radical goodness. The thing we've been talking about on Friday night with the young people. Radical goodness is found in God. He has everything that He wants to give to us, and we reject it. Because we want what we want, not what He has offered us. Think about it. What's important to you? I can see in all of the young people in this church a bright future. I can see a bright future. There are people here that have incredible talent, incredible personality, incredible beauty, incredible things to offer. But the greatest thing that each one of you has today, young and old, is Jesus Christ. If you have Him, then you have the hopes of the entire world. And God is saying, take a look to heaven. And let's reason with each other. I can give you everything. I can give you hope. I can give you peace. I can give you joy. I can give you all these fruit of the Spirit. Compassion. All the things that people are searching for. All these things that the politicians are promising. If you only vote for them. But Jesus is saying, you find it in me. And in me alone. Let's take a look a little bit further. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, to the degrading of their bodies. With one another, sorry. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. They exchanged the truth of God for life, and they worship and serve created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Brothers and sisters, the heavens were created by God, and they praise Him. The heavens declare the glory of God. So what are we doing? Are we going to let something that is extolling God, that is not given the same purpose as we have, do that, and while we exchange it for lies and for things that are futile and hopeless? No. The answer is no. We are not going to do that. We are going to extol His name, and we are going to recognize that in the heavens and the creation that is around us, that God is real, and that God has purpose for us, and that God is our God, and He is almighty and powerful and created everything. And without Him, nothing that was made, nothing. We talked about it in Psalm 1. When a person studies the law of God, when he makes Him the only God, remember? In Psalm 1, when he makes Him the only God, when he studies and meditates on the law, he's like a what? A tree. A tree that grows by streams of water, that bears its fruit in season. You want to bear fruit in your life? You need God. You want to bear fruit in in your life, you want to have purpose, you need to meditate on what that means, and you need to understand when we look up in the sky and you see the vastness around us, that there is a God behind it, and he gives purpose to your life, and you need him. And you also need to give him his proper place in your life. If you don't, you are lost. You are futile in your thinking. Psalm 51. We're talking about eternal things, right? In these verses, they gave up eternal things. Things that last forever. A God who is eternal, and they exchanged it for lies. Because they were more interested in sexual desires. Temporary sin. David recognized that sin in his life and he said, Lord, have mercy on my soul. Don't take my life. Let me be clean by you and made fresh and white as snow, and I promise you what, I will tell others about it. I will tell others about this mercy that you had on me. I will tell them so that they can be saved. That is our purpose here. Not to live for ourselves, but to live for others. It's very important that we understand that. And why? Because his love, as it says in chapter 51, the Psalm 51 says, his unfailing love. His unfailing love. He looks for truth in the inner man. Where is truth? It's in the Word of God. Where is truth? It's in the heavens. They're displaying. They're proclaiming. It's truth, man. It's the truth. There is no other. It's the only thing. It's life over death. And I made each one of you exactly the way that you are. We have a lot of new people coming to our church, and we are blessed to have them here. And you know what I see when I see these people? I see a person who came from Jesus Christ, the creator of the heavens and the earth. It's in the Bible. Jesus Christ was always, he was there with the Father. The world was created by him. You were created by him. You belong to him. And we break his heart when we sin. And we reject him. And we say, maybe later. Right now, I'm doing my own thing. Don't you know how important you are to him? Don't you know how important your life is to him? Don't you know how important your kids' lives are to him? Don't you know how important your parents' lives are to him? They exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Think about that verse. And go outside and take a look up. I would like to propose today that we take this verse and we turn it around. And I want you to commit to it with me. We will exchange lies for the truth. We will exchange lies for the truth. And we will worship the Creator and not created things. We will exchange the lies that we have and accept God's truth into our hearts. And we will worship and serve the Creator, the one and only God, and stop having to do with created things. What are the created things in your life that are keeping you away from God? Is it education? What is education going to do for you? Is it your job? What is your job going to do for you? Is it money? What is money going to do for you?
Nothing.
Is it love of mankind and doing humane things? It's not going to do anything unless it's connected with the Creator, the one who created us. People are always trying to make them into something else. So will you join me in doing that today? Can we take care of the lie, take them out of the way? We're handing them in. We're going to get rid of them. I've had enough of these now. Take the lie. Take this lie I'm living. Take it away from me. I want you. Teach me. Teach me what it means to give up my life. Teach me what it means to have a son who is God, and to send him into the world to be brutalized and to be killed on a cross. But teach me more than that to know that this Jesus who was brutalized and killed on a cross is doing it to shed his blood for my sins so that I can live. And he rose up for 3 days, and he did rise. And he sits on the right hand of the Father, and he is coming again, the Father teaches us. He is coming again. So what will he find? What will he find? What are we going to do in our church to do to get ready for this? We are going to encourage each other to read the Bible. We are going to encourage each other with embracing each other. We are going to encourage each other by telling each other when we are doing something wrong that we need to get back on the right in the right way. We're going to encourage each other to call people that are not coming to church, to tell them how important it is that they come because God is speaking to them. We're going to do things in this community so that we can spread the word to this community. Other people can hear about the fact when they look up in the sky, the heavens that are standing there in front of them, and from which rain pours, and the sun shines, and everything that exists and has life and breath is from a living God who cares so deeply about them that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, so that they would be saved, and that they would never die, but they would have hope eternal, just like my mom and dad are going to have life eternal when they pass away from this place, because they believe in Jesus Christ, the one, the only true God, the one who created them. Can I hear an amen? That's the way it is. We are going to be actively involved in each other's lives. We are going to change from people who are wrapped up in our own lives, and we are going to be speaking in Chinese or whatever tongue it is, that we make this clear to people that come in this church that they are loved, and not just by us, by Jesus Christ, the one and only true God. There's a wonderful hymn that I'd like us to sing. The first verse, I think I remember it. O Lord my God, when I in awe and wonder consider all the things thy hands have made, I see the sun, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Father God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Can we sing that all together? We sing it. Take a hymnal underneath your seat.